The hailing frequencies are open because this is GHL Extra, and I'm Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson, but you already knew that because you're beautiful, sexy people who support us here on Patreon.
That's right. I realized that I did a Star Trek sound effect on a Star Wars extra.
Well, you're finally going to be canceled.
I feel bad for this, everybody, so I'm going to look up some Star Wars sound effects, and you're going to hear lots of them during the show. So
just find the Wilhelm scream. It's all over those movies.
Oh, that is true. Okay.
Every stormtrooper's like, ah!
But I will play some Star Wars sound effects because I realize that that might be heresy to some people, so I apologize.
It's okay. The way I talked about Ben Solo is probably also heresy to some
people.
Yeah,
you love Kylo Ren. Should I buy you a Kylo Ren action figure?
So much. I don't understand what people like about. I'm not saying anybody's wrong, but like I cannot like something you can comprehend intellectually why people
we
like.
Probably
something.
Should have said that in the main podcast. We didn't say.
Doesn't
like,
matter.
You like we don't hate those movies, but yeah, it is like you and I are not fans of Kylo Ren.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And the creation of that character.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we don't like that basically Han Solo and Leia are in a failed marriage, basically.
I also don't. He just reminds me of like every boy I knew in high school who would throw a hissy fit when he didn't get his way. Mm-hmm. But he's supposed to be a 30-year-old man. So like I also have secondhand embarrassment like in the episode 7 where he's like destroying the panel and like Domhnall Gleeson's just like watching him. I literally am like, I have to look. This is so embarrassing. I have to look away. And I don't like. I don't like the commentary on Leia's parentage. I don't really care about Han. I believe he's a crappy parent, but
that's true.
Anyway, we're here talking about Leia.
Yes, we are.
And I would love to examine like Leia's cultural impact. And
that's right. That's what we're talking about.
That's right. And I want to start by we can start a little inside baseball talking about Star Wars, but
okay.
I'm going to describe Leia Organa to you. And I want you to tell me how many other female Star Wars characters fall under this same description.
Okay.
Young white woman, short and thin, brown hair, braids in her hair, a little bit rebellious, possibly force sensitive.
Almost all of them?
It's literally every single other, every Star Wars character, certainly in the movies.
It's Jin, it's Rey, it's even Sabine a little bit.
It's
Padme.
It's absolutely Padme because Padme was created
Dr. Aphra, it's all of them.
Leia is like, has become the building block, which makes sense, but
they can't get past it.
More than any of the other characters. Like if you are a woman in Star Wars and you are not a villain, you're either this or Ahsoka because Ahsoka is very much the blueprint for the alien females. Because Hera's very close to who Ahsoka is.
Someone else agrees with that thought here.
Who would that be? It was a little bit louder than that.
R2 agrees.
I even think that extends out to a lot of other female characters in genre to begin with at all.
That they're all Leia copies?
Well, or that they owe a lot to Leia. Like,
I think 1977, I think you're absolutely correct.
I think there's a direct line in pop culture history from Princess Leia to Starbuck in the Battlestar Galactica reboot.
Sure.
She's not as much an exact copy. Boomer's probably closer in personality. Mm-hmm. But outside of that,
I mean, there's a direct line. Here's a weird comparison.
Sure.
There's a direct line between Princess Leia and Khaleesi. In Game of Thrones.
You think so?
100%.
Tell me more.
Well, think about it. She wears the flowing white gown the first time we ever see her. She is royalty who is going to ascend to a higher plane. Mm. She has special magical powers. Mm. It's even there as Leia.
Interesting. I would have never thought about Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
because George R. R. Martin was creating at the time when Star Wars was, but not Game of Thrones. He was writing.
The first Game of Thrones book, I think, is 89. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, but he wrote fantasy and stuff before then.
He was a TV writer before that.
Was he really?
Yeah. So the story of Game of Thrones is actually quite fascinating because it's almost the ultimate, like the books anyway, it's almost fuck you to the Hollywood studio system.
Yeah.
George R. R. Martin was a Hollywood television writer. He wrote on several shows. Beauty and the Beast is one of them, the Ron Perlman show.
Oh, sure, Linda Carter.
And he got
Linda Carter.
So mad and so upset about how frustrating working with Hollywood executives was that he left the industry completely, moved to New Mexico, and just was like, I'm going to be a novelist. And he wrote Game of Thrones.
Interesting.
And it brought him right back to the studio system.
Because I definitely would have reached for a character like Eowyn before I would have reached for Daenerys Targaryen. And I'm not saying you're wrong. I just thought it was interesting that you brought her up.
I think if you look, she is a, if you look at everything of her character, like even her, like, you know, being about anti-slavery, which mm-hmm. is very anti-empire.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, she's an evil version. You can see a lot of the Leia archetype in her.
I think that's really, really interesting. I also think like Leia has such a fascinating cultural impact because Leia strides what I think a lot of women want to be, or a lot of like young girls want to be.
96 was the first book. So even later.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. 96.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is like Leia is, she's a princess, but she's a capable princess. She's not a damsel.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think Leia directly impacts something like Xena Warrior Princess. Ooh, jealous.
Yeah.
maybe more than you would think at first blush, and it's
a
difference.
Jealous. Just throw that out there.
You do. It's the difference between like sword and sorcery and science fiction, yes. But I don't think you get to like Lucy Lawless without somebody like Princess Leia.
I agree.
I also think it's the reason why Leia was a popular name for children born in the 80s and 90s.
Was it?
Yes.
The Ewoks agree.
I loved the Ewoks when I was a little girl.
You're supposed to. Kids are supposed to love the Ewoks. Everybody gets mad about the Ewoks. Look, I'm kind of annoyed by them, but like, look, if you don't see Star Wars as merchandising opportunities, then you don't know what you're looking at. But of course they were going to make a soft teddy bear.
Yes.
And it makes the sense that they love the princess.
Yes. And Star Wars is supposed to be an all ages story. I think we're getting a little bit away from that, but it is a children's story.
It's a fairy tale. It's a fairy tale.
Like Lord of the Rings. I mean, Leia's cultural impact is so vast that we can't let her die.
Oh, how do you mean? Oh, you mean like we keep bringing her back?
Like the actress.
Like with Kenobi and with Rogue One. And
the
like,
actress died.
Yeah.
Very publicly.
Yeah.
Died. And she's been brought back by two different live action performers already. And Disney is so worried that they cannot create another female character who will rival Leia. They recast an actual child. That is how important and how integral Leia is, not only to Star Wars, but to the Disney machine now. They have tied up an actor who they can have play her for the next 20 years if they
you
want.
You and I have talked about this several times. I think Star Wars only really works.
The Fireflies agree.
Yep. As the story of Luke Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
And I think every time we go further, now fans will disagree with me, and that's fine.
Yeah, you know,
we all have our opinions.
Yeah.
But Star Wars has never been as good as it has been the Luke Skywalker story. And mm-hmm. I'll throw the prequels in there. But like, I think it is a singular story. Mm-hmm. And once that is told, it's over. And the every time we keep stretching it and pushing it, it gets less and less enjoyable.
That is my fear. About, again, the other side of the coin.
Which is why they can't get away from Leia. Yeah.
That is my fear about the Rings of Power.
Ah.
Because we had the Lord of the Rings, which was lightning in a bottle, a cultural moment.
It was the Star Wars of the 2000s.
You can very much, in film history and in story, to be like, there's the before Lord of the Rings and after. Yep. You can say the same thing about the book as well.
Yes, you can.
And then we did The Hobbit, which was like less good, but there's some good stuff in there.
Yep.
And now we're doing a TV show.
The one advantage that The Hobbit had over all the extra Star Wars material not written by George Lucas is that at least The Hobbit was based on something that was created
by the original creator.
I think now, like, look, I like Dave Filoni. I think he's written a lot of great Star Wars.
So do I, yeah, same.
But I've always kind of felt that like George Lucas is kind of the only one that can write Star Wars. I'm sorry, because it was his brain baby.
Which when they did Clone Wars, he was in the room on.
He was there.
Yeah.
But look, parts of Clone Wars, but even Clone Wars, nothing.
Not perfect.
Even the prequels, nothing has ever captured the magic of the original trilogy.
Yeah, like if you think about it, Leia as a character has appeared more times than Luke or Han.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
In all of the Star Wars material that we've had up to this point.
Yep.
Even in Kenobi up to this point, spoilers, skip ahead like 30 seconds, Leia's appeared way more than Luke.
Yeah. It's I don't know. There's just something like, I've always thought for a very long time, I'm like, what's the magic sauce of like writing a Star Wars thing?
Yeah.
And look, other authors and other creators have done it,
And have done it very well.
And have done Kevin it very Scott, well.
Claudia Gray.
But like,
yeah.
I don't know. There is just something so magical and so singular about those three movies that I think Star Wars has been chasing for 40 years and nobody has gotten it. And look, I like other Star Wars things. I like The Mandalorian. Yeah, I like Boba Fett. Yeah. I like parts of the prequels. Like even done by George Lucas. But to me, there's just something about, I know we're getting the
it's fine.
He created something so singular that even himself couldn't replicate it. Even he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's he created the female archetype that every movie and television show has been chasing for 40 years. That's Princess Leia's pop culture antidote in like one snippet.
But I also think that it was perfected by Carrie Fisher's performance, because I think that Leia, and I didn't mean to imply that you weren't saying that, but I think that Leia played by a lesser actor would have just been a damsel. And we would have seen her married off to Luke in like episode 2.
Yeah.
But she brings like a real fire to the character.
It was all the pieces made a better whole.
Yeah. Because on paper, I don't know if she's on paper by George Lucas, because George Lucas is also not absolved from icky behavior on the Star Wars set. I don't know if she would have turned out to be everything that she is now.
You know, I don't know. You know, I don't know if I've never read the original Star Wars script. Because I know there's like all these different versions, even the version where it's called like the Star Killer.
Killers,
The Scarlet, the one Adventures of Luke Star.
One of those is going up for auction pretty soon.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. To me, the most character defining scene of Princess Leia happens in A New Hope, and you talked about it earlier on the main episode. Yeah. It's where she gets out of the cell and she grabs the blaster and starts blasting. Because that is not a damsel. That is like somebody that's like, I am not yet. Thank you for opening the door, but I got this.
That defines
the character to me. And I don't know, was that a Carrie Fisher choice or is that in the script?
I don't know. Someone, if you know, let us in the comments.
You know.
I also think she has a really good first scene because.
She faces off with Darth Vader.
And tells him to
tell him he stinks or something like that.
Yeah, like she recognizes his stench. Like
she calls him stinky.
She has no fear of him whatsoever, and
you
that's
seem
quite
like
something.
My daughter.
Yeah, you smell familiar.
You look like a senator I knew from Naboo when I told her I hated the sand. Sit and let me tell you, dear Leia.
It's also
of the pre-Clone Wars times.
Just to like drag Star Wars one more time before we end this. It's also there's a lot of trouble when you compare the different eras, but when you compare how powerful Vader is in Kenobi or is in some of the supplementary materials, it really begs the question of how he didn't recognize Leia standing right in front of him. I know he never saw her, but through the Force,
well,
that he never realized.
You would think the Force would tell you.
Yeah,
but
and he's been proximal to her several other times.
That's where you get into some sketchy stuff of, you know, the idea of that the Force is sentient.
But we play with that all the time.
We do that. The Force was intentionally hiding Leia to balance itself.
Yeah, I hate that.
Well, I mean, that's kind of where you go into it. I'm literally like, so I'm flipping through a version of the script right now, and I don't know whether it's somebody that like just like typed it.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to find. I just got to where Leia popped up on the Death Star with them. Oh.
Aren't you a little short to be a stormtrooper?
Okay, so it's the garbage room, unused hallway. I think
unused hallway.
Wait, man, this might not be right. I'm trying to find where Leia, because again, the first time is where she comes out. They're stuck in the trap. They're in the garbage room. Okay, we're going before the garbage room because it's in the tunnel.
3PO, 3PO, come in, 3PO.
Okay, Death Star interior, Death Star cell row. Now, again, I don't know whether this
is
somebody.
Which version of this is,
this could be somebody just typed it from the movie. Leia, Ben Kenobi is here. Where is he? Interior Death Star conference room, Vader, da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, interior Death Star detention area hallway. An ominous buzzing sound is heard on the other side of the elevator door. Han, Chewie. Han and Chewie fire laser pistols. A series of explosions knock a hole in the elevator door through which several Imperial troops begin to emerge. Han and Chewie fire laser pistols at them through the smoke and flame. They turn and run down the cell hallway, meeting up with Luke and Leia rushing towards them. Han, can't get out that way. Leia, looks like you managed to cut off our only escape route. Han, maybe you'd like to back in your cell, your highness. Luke takes the comm link. We cut to another scene. Okay, hold on.
Oh, yeah, because then she takes the gun and shoots the hole.
The laser fire is very tense.
The laser fire is very intense.
Luke, well, I didn't. The princess grabs Luke's gun and fires at a small grate in the wall next to Han, almost frying him. So it is in the script that she grabs the blaster. Mm-hmm. Now, whether the script is somebody just wrote what's happening in the movie, I don't know. But there is a script out there that says that it was a script choice.
Great. That's
fine. So that means it was George Lucas's original intent, hopefully, from what we can tell.
He also told her no one wore underwear in space.
That's true. And that is very true. If you've ever been in space, you don't wear underwear. You wear diapers. Everybody knows this. All right. Thank you so much.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
Go look it up. Google it. It's true.
I know it's true. But still.
No one in space can hear you poop in your diaper. All right. Thank you so
much. Oh, my God.
Thank you so much for listening to Geek History Lesson Extra. Thank you so much for your support. I hope you enjoy these NASA facts. Ashley hates Kylo Ren, and that's all fine.
So much.
We still love her very much. I'm Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
Thank you so much for your support. Bye-bye. Bye. Super friends.